What's good, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of HBR on the Hype Radio Network. Today, our guests are Andre DeGrasse and Will Clay, two track and field athletes that medaled at the 2016 Olympics, but still have a lot to prove, especially now that Usain Bolt has left the sport. Listen in as Dre and Will dive into their rigorous training regimens, upcoming injuries, their goals for the 2020 Olympics, life away from track, and so much more. Check it out and enjoy. Driving culture forward, this is HBR of the Hype Radio Network. I am your host, Robert, Bobby, Bob, whatever, it doesn't matter. Today, I am joined by two guests, very rare, both of whom are Olympic medalists, but I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
Yeah, I'm here, Hype Beast. My name is Andre DeGrasse. I'm a three-time Olympic medalist. I run for Team Canada from Toronto. And I'm a Puma athlete, so I'm happy to be here today.
What are your events?
I run the 100, 200 meters, and 4x1 relay.
Gang. You, sir?
Yeah, very rare. Will Clay. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, South Phoenix, Arizona. I am a long jumper and triple jumper. Three-time Olympic medal list. dang, five-time world champion,
jeez,
medalist.
Okay.
Two-time indoor world championship gold medalist.
Dang, now you're just sounding like a wrestler.
I'm just, I got belts. I got belts. Now, but yeah, all of that track stuff at the same time. I do music. I'm an artist too. Started like making music with YG in 2012. And
what was that? What was that? I don't give a fuck. Was that the name of it?
Okay. Yeah. And that was like the first time I was ever in the studio. And YG put me in the studio. And from there, like, I just, you know, kind of just fell in love with it. I've been doing music like with my boys, like at the house.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that was the first time really in a studio, and I just fell in love with it, and I've been just doing it ever since.
First time in a studio, right to a single.
Bro, I was in a studio with, like, 50 Bloods, like, and I didn't grow up around no Bloods. And I'm like, okay, yeah. This is
looks at his outfit. Okay, nope, no red, good.
No red for me.
So what brings you guys to New York City in November right now?
Whew. You want me to answer that? Me and Will, we came out here for a shoe summit, representing Puma, just talking about the brand. You know, they got a whole new line coming out for 2019, so we wanted to just give the, I guess you could say, you know, the headquarters, the Runners World headquarters, the people who write about, you know, shoes. We're just trying to give them an opportunity, a platform, you know, for next year to say, okay, this is what they're going to be expecting.
Yeah, I mean, I see you guys. Andre, you have the Cell Endoras on.
Yeah, yeah. You heard about these?
Yeah, of course.
Those the OG joints.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got the new Clydes.
The new Clydes.
But
the Halloween edition. One. Yeah, these just dropped, so I had to max them out real quick, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Puma does on the basketball court now that they're back into it.
It's a lot. Yeah. Like, yeah, they always are just like they just bringing in all the new basketball players, like dropping a whole bunch of new shoes, like they turning up with basketball right now.
Yeah, it was crazy because I mean, in February when I got to play in the All-Star Celebrity Game and I was able to try the first Pumas, and I kind of knew they were coming out, but nobody really knew yet, so it was kind of like, oh, like all of my teammates were like, oh, where you get those, like you wearing some Puma joints, like where did those come from? So it was kind of like I couldn't tell them yet, but it was like, oh, look out for it, you know, they're gonna drop soon. So that was kind of pretty cool getting the chance to just, you know, wear that for the first time.
That's the best sneakerhead moment, is when you get those questions. Man, what are those? So back to you guys, right? So you guys are in New York right now. Is this like the off season? I mean,
yeah,
is that what we're in right now? I mean, or is there an off season for track and field athletes?
Yeah, like we have like an off season. Right now it's like off season, but we're about to start back training, you know, and getting back into it. But like our world championships next year is like in October, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's like super late for us. Usually it's in like August.
Right.
And so like we're gonna start training a little bit later this go around. And then like 2020 Olympics is super early, earlier than usual.
Yeah, it's gonna be in July.
Like, yeah. It's all about time, and like it just depends on when the championship is when we start training. You know what I'm saying? So like just trying to time it up right, but right now we pretty much chilling.
It's a chill time. Like, what is, you know, what does your off seasons consist of then? I mean, you guys are family men as well, right? You guys have families.
I just got married.
Oh, you just got, yes, that's right. Yep.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I got a newborn daughter, so she's 4 months now.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a crazy time right now. No sleep, but. Right now, you know, just getting back into gear, trying to get ready for the season, but it's been cool.
How is this off season, you know, how do you think it's gonna impact your mindset for, you know, this upcoming training? You know, now that, you know, you're married now you have a wife, now you have a child, like, do you foresee this kind of having any impact? You know, like you said, you're not getting a lot of sleep.
I think it just gives more motivation.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, for myself, you know, now that I gotta have the responsibility to take care of someone. So that's just gonna make me even more hungrier for the next year, for the World Championship and for the Olympics coming up. So I think that's what I kind of get from it. It's just inspiration as a factor.
Yeah.
Definitely, it's like now it's bigger than you. You know, he has a child, I have a wife, like, we don't have children yet, but one day we will. And like, I wanna set the foundation now. Like, you know, I want my last name to live on and be big, you know, so it's on me at this point. It's like, all right, the Clay name is on my back. You know what I mean? And
right.
I want to set that, you know, set generations up, because I didn't have that. You know what I mean? I'm like, I feel like I started from scratch. So I don't want my family that I will have to, you know, have that same type of start. So that's the motivation I have right now. It's like, all right, the Clay name is gonna be a staple, so I gotta go hard.
Facts.
So the last year for both of you guys has had like some ups and downs, I'd imagine, right? Andre, I know you had some injuries. Well, you kind of had like a weird controversy that kind of had, you know, it's kind of wiped clean, the whole weird, like, contaminated meat joint,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I haven't got to talk to nobody about that, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, right. I mean, how are you guys, you know, injuries you guys are the epitome of athletes. You know, you track and field, that's all athleticism, right? How are you able to overcome, you know, something like an injury and then something that's kind of, you know, messes with your psyche or your mindset? Like, how are you guys able to overcome these two obstacles?
Yeah, I think for just all athletes, you know, speaking, you know, I was actually with Will, or like 5 months ago, I think we was both kind of like banged up a little bit. We went to go see the Cairo and we were just talking. It was like, this is part of the game, this is part of the sport. And it's really just a mental grind. You know, you're always going to have aches and pains every day. You know, physically you might not be there, but it's all really about mental. If you could just get past the hump and just say, all right, you know, today is not going to be the greatest day, but I'm going to try to do what I can just to be able to just, you know, have that it factor and say, all right, I'm going to accomplish what I can, and then, you know, move on to the next day. So I think that's what we kind of just try to prepare for every day, you know, is that mental grind, mental side. And if we can do that, that's how you can become successful.
Right. Well,
yeah, I was just talking to my manager Chelsea about this. Like, when stuff goes like bad stuff happens like that, I feel like it's a setup for like something bigger. I feel like it's just like a humbling time and something that
minor setback for a major comeback.
Yeah, for a major
right?
comeback like that. And I think for me, like, I've obviously had injuries and stuff like that. Like 2010, I had an injury. I had a stress fracture in my back, my lower back, and like doctors were basically saying I was done. And so that's when I had to tap into my mental, like, nah, I gotta grind to get back. And a year later, I had to take a whole season off, And a year later, I was at World Championships, and I got a medal, you know. And it was after all of this stuff, and I just feel like that was the setup because it made me train smarter. Like I used to just train dumb, like I just trained, like I just wanted to do everything, you know. Right. I had to train smarter, and I think I matured from that. With the contaminated meat, I feel like, for me, it didn't really mess up my mental because I knew what the whole situation was.
Right.
And I knew that it was just what was put into the media. You know what I mean? It's like, that was the motive that they wanted to push was what they pushed, and it wasn't on my side, even though all I did was, I had went to Mexico with my fiance at the time. We did our engagement photos out there. She surprised me and just got a, because we live in San Diego. She was like, let's go to the airport. We ended up in Mexico.
She's a keeper.
She's a keeper. So we're out there. We just out there in Mexico. Just vacation. Like right. Anybody else would. We stayed at like a 5-star hotel. Like really nice area. And, you know, it just was like vacation. And then we came back. Boom. I get drug tested like 2 days after we get back. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like the second most tested athlete in California. So I get tested all the time. So it's just another test for me. And then like I get like a notification like, you have so-and-so in your system. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Like, I don't even know what it is.
Right.
Because I don't take anything. Like, I don't even take supplements. And so I'm like hitting up my agent like, hey, like, I don't know what this is. Like, they said it showed up. Like, I need to figure this out. And then obviously, like, we sent in all the places that I ate at. They tested the meat there and found out that that's where it came from, was from Mexico. And so it was nothing, but they still had to put out that press release. So
yeah, that's crazy.
But for me, on my end, I was good because I knew.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wasn't really tripping about it because I knew what the situation really was. But
even with the headlines, that doesn't frustrate you? Because I imagine this happens, doesn't happen a lot to Olympic athletes, but like you said, you get tested more than most athletes in California. So, and part of that is because you guys are track and field athletes, Olympic athletes, right? Mm-hmm. So even the headlines, that's not even frustrating, like you seeing that, because again, people are going to spin the story, right?
Yeah, the day it came out was a little rough.
Yeah,
because like obviously people are going to bash you on the internet, but I was like, those people don't really know much about track anyways. Like the substance that was in my system was a weight loss substance.
Right.
I weigh 148 pounds. Like, what am I taking a weight loss substance for?
Right.
So I'm like, you guys don't even know what, like, you guys don't understand. And you guys are, you know, that's the internet though. And you just, when you're an athlete on our level, you know, you have to kind of
be. Yeah, put that behind you,
right? Yeah. It's going to be there, whether right. you're on top or whatever it is. You always going to have critics. And you just kind of got to keep it moving. So the first day I was kind of like, man, these people don't know me. Like, they don't know where I come. Like, I feel like there were people that were like backing me at the same time too,
sure.
though. Like people that know me and they were like, yeah, Will, there's no way he would ever cheat. You know what I mean? And I was just like, yeah, they know. But then there were some other people like, they don't even know about track. And they were just like, oh, this dude, I knew it. He's too good. Da, da, da. So it is what it is, though. That's a life as an athlete.
But right now, it's got to be an exciting time for both of you guys, though. You guys are kind of coming back from injuries or have been back from injuries. And then 2019 is a big year, and then obviously 2020.
Yeah.
So you guys are gearing up from training. So are you guys trying to get back into the mindset, or, you know, getting out of chill zone, so to speak? Are you guys kind of rolling into it?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, for me, definitely, I got to get back to training. I mean, it's been a while. I've been out for a little bit. So, for me, I'm just ready. Like, I'm itching, you know, because it's been a while since I got on the track. So, yeah, I'm just waiting on some, you know, people to just get back to me. And, you know, for me, it's all about just trying to get to that next step and start my training.
Both of you guys are in similar, maybe different points in your career, I think. Andre, you're going to be entering
Yeah, this gonna be my fourth year now, professional. Okay. Yeah, well, you've been doing it for a minute.
Seven. This is my seventh, but I mean, I was 20 when I started. I started young. I went pro young, real young. So, like, sometimes I feel old, like, being around them. But then at the same time, I'm like, dang, we not even that far apart in age.
Right.
So, like, yeah, it's I don't even feel like I'm in my prime yet, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm still figuring stuff out.
Okay.
There's just things like getting stronger and, you know, like learning how to run properly and just different mechanics. Like, there's probably stuff that Andre does naturally just way better than me that if I learned,
no,
I could
no
be.
Way.
For sure. And that's why he is who he is, and he's that fast. And those are the things that I want to learn to better myself, because I feel like I just have a lot of room to improve. So
yeah, I feel the same way, because I mean, I started track late. I started when I was like 17. I mean, I was into basketball and soccer, and it was kind of like track. It was kind of just, I never really like loved the sport, but I think as I got to do it more and more, then I developed a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of came in. That's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to school for it. I got a scholarship. Then I went to, you know, USC, and I was like, okay, I'm in LA right now. I mean, there's a lot of distractions, but I was like, okay, you know, if I stay focused, you know, I could make something out of this. And that's kind of what I did. I mean, in that whole 1 year, I just stayed locked in, stayed focused, fell in love with the sport. And that's when I forgoed my eligibility. So actually, yeah, like me and Will, we went pro at the same time. I went pro when I was 20. So I had a year of eligibility left. I just forfeited that, and then I went, you know, professional with Puma, and that was kind of like a shock to me too, as well, because I was so young on the scene, and I'm professional, and you know, all these guys are, you know, way older than me, and I'm about to go into my first Olympics, so it was kind of intimidating at the same time, because I was like, I didn't want to put too much expectations on myself, but I knew I'm talented. I could go out there and maybe surprise some people, you know. So that's kind of what I kind of told myself when I went in, and you know, I was blessed enough and fortunate enough to come out with three Olympic medals. So it was a pretty cool experience for me, and I was so young. And now as I get older, like Will said, you know, I'm still learning my body, you know, still trying to figure out, you know, exactly, you know, how to run, you know, all the time. Like, I mean, Sometimes it's about just doing the littlest thing that I don't do. So that's kind of what, you know, coach tries to tell me, or just even, you know, having the support of, you know, other people around me, other athletes, just to get ideas and advice from them. That's pretty awesome for me.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that, Andre, you're kind of entering a point in your career in which you're trying to solidify your name and yourself within the track and field world? Whereas, Will, you're kind of more so, you've been in it, and you've earned your stripes, and now you're trying to cement your legacy, so to speak. Would that be wrong to say between the two of you?
I feel like I'm trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Solidify it. I feel like
definitely.
Yeah. I don't feel like I've done enough yet.
Okay.
To like go down as one of the greatest track athletes, and that's what I want to be. So I think there's still a lot more for me to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel like once I do accomplish all of that, I'll be ready to be like, okay, I did what I did for the game.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like.
So then what is it that you guys are looking to accomplish 2019 and 2020?
For me, I want to break the world record.
Okay.
I think that's like the one thing right now that I'm just like, that's, I just feel like it's mine. For the taking. And I don't know if you've ever had like a feeling like that something was just for you, like,
yeah.
I just feel like that. I feel like it's just for me, and I grind, you know, so I know it's bound to happen, you know, because I'm gonna put the work in. But who knows when, what me, I don't know, but I just, that's a goal of mine, and that's what I want to do within the next year or two.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm young too, so I mean, world record is a stretch.
It ain't a stretch.
It's a stretch, but I feel like,
do it.
I feel like, you know, I could do it. You know, I feel like it's possible. You know, I never want to put limits on myself. Of course, you know, I have other goals as well. I know, you know, I haven't won a gold medal yet. So, you know, that's one of, you know, my objectives, my goal, like to be able to be the fastest man in the world. You know, I've got a silver, I've got a bronze, so I'm just missing that goal factor. So, I mean, it all comes with it. You know, I know in track and field, they always say, you know, don't try to put limits on yourself. Don't try to put a time on yourself. You know, just go out there and do it, you know, like kind of you just make it happen. And usually, like, you know, when you make it happen, you see something on the board, you're like, man, I can't believe I ran that fast. Like,
right.
It was kind of like at the Olympics for me. I was like, I ran a personal best. I broke the Canadian record. And it was just like, how did I do that? Like, I didn't even know. I didn't even feel like I was going that fast. And that was just kind of me just seeing the reaction, seeing the time on the board and saying, all right, I know I can go faster than this now, because I didn't even feel like I was going that fast. You know, I don't know if you feel that as well, Will, when you're on the board and you just jump across the board and you're like, wait, it was that far. Like it did not feel that far. Like, I felt flat today. I felt a little bit, you know, in my warm up, I didn't feel that good. And all of a sudden I just burst out the blocks, and, you know, I see the time pop up when I cross the line. I'm like, okay, I know I could do better than this. So I it's definitely, you know, the world record, even just trying to break, you know, the Canadian record that was, you know, set by one of a guy that I get a lot of great advice from, Donovan. You know, he tells me all the time, you know, you can do it. So, you know, you have the talent. So it's just great when you get that motivation from people who've done it before. And, you know, that's something I want to accomplish for sure.
Yeah, I mean, what is going through your mind then when you guys are competing? And not training or not warming up, but like you're in the blocks or you're waiting, you know, run down that lane. Like, what are you guys, how are you guys getting focused? And you just said almost like you guys don't even really know that you guys are doing it,
yeah,
right?
It's tunnel vision. You've done it so much at practice that it's like at this point, it's just, you just got to let go and like just be free with it, you know, because it's so like we're in like packed out stadiums, like 30,000 people.
Millions of people
going
watching
crazy.
On TV. Yeah.
TV, like, but at that point, it's like everything just get quiet. And then it's just like, oh, like, this is really about to happen. Like, me, I get nervous every time,
yeah,
too. And it's just like, wow, like, all right, shoot, this is what I trained for. So I'm just let it happen. And then, like, it just happens like that, really.
Yeah. You just got to let go and relax, right?
Yeah, let go and relax. And then just happens from there. And then next thing you know, you see it on the board and you're like, oh, shit. Like, damn, I didn't even know, like, I was capable of that the way that I feel right now. But that's what we train for. Like, we're prepared, even though sometimes you might second guess yourself. We're prepared because we put the work in for it. So right. It just happens.
Speaking of that work, obviously, yeah, training is the utmost importance for you guys. What are your training regimens or schedules like, you know, what you're going to be entering soon? I imagine it's super rigorous, right?
Yeah, I know I train 6 days a week. So Monday to Saturday, and Sunday's the day off. So.
Because you guys are, you know, I grew up a hooper.
Oh, you play ball?
Yeah.
What position?
Shooting guard. I would say my game's more like Rip Hamilton, Richard Hamilton. I just run around screens all day, mid-range game.
Okay. Oh, you're just pulling
money
up.
Yeah, nothing money all day.
Okay.
But my senior year, I didn't play. I actually ran track, but just a lot of my homies did, and I didn't really want to be in my gym class anyways. But I do, I would say, though, I wasn't anywhere near the level of athletes you guys are. But I would say I've never had more butterflies in my stomach than sitting in those blocks, like just waiting for that gun to go off, and it just feels like an eternity.
No, for real, yeah. I remember when I first did it, I'm like, oh, just don't false start. Like, don't false start. It took me a while to get used to that feeling of just complete silence and just waiting for the starter to just, you know, shoot the gun. So it was definitely nerve-wracking, and now I feel like I still get a little bit of it, but I feel like I've gotten a lot better than before. So it feels good.
So I think the nerves come from, like, any other sport, you have a team, you got somebody relying. Yeah. I think track is just pure, yeah, like,
by yourself.
It's on you. Yeah. Like,
your coach can tell you so much.
You blow it. Like, and so it's like, dang, all right, I got a lot of pressure on me right now. Like,
is it hard then for you, Andre, to switch that mindset when you're running relays then?
Oh, no, relays, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, three other guys with me. Everyone's like, oh, let's just make sure we don't drop the stick. But, I mean, it's less pressure. You know, it's four guys. We get to go into the car room together. We get to joke around. So we serious at the same time. But, you know, it's a lot more fun because you know that it's like, okay, it's just a relay. We do this all the time. Let's just make sure we get to stick around and we'll be fine and we'll be good. We'll be good to go. Everybody's got the foot speed. So all we got to do is make sure we got, you know, everybody take off at the right time and we good to go. So I think we've done it many times and, you know, we won a bronze at the Olympics. So everybody was happy. Everybody felt good. And, you know, we broke the national record for our country. So it was like, man, okay. Like we did that. Let's do it again. So, you know, that was kind of the feeling that we had. Like it was just pretty simple. It was just easy flowing, easy going.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a correlation between you guys breaking records and Canada lifting the ban on recreational marijuana, but just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Whatever you guys are doing, it might help. Just keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I do want to go back to the training. I just want to hear, like, what would be a typical day for you guys? Because, again, you guys are, you know, peak athletes, you know, where – a football player will spend half the day, you know, watching film, you know, the other team or themselves, and then the other day practicing or weightlifting. You guys, it's just your body is the most important thing, right?
Yeah, it's all about recovery. I think that's the most important. I feel like, Will, you think so?
Recovery. Yeah, recovery for sure. Like,
I mean, you could train. Like, it's hard because it's like sometimes you don't want to overtrain and then you don't want to undertrain. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just trying to find that balance to be able to say, okay, I did enough to work today. Now it's time to go get a massage, go get, you know, some treatment and, you know, make sure you take care of your body so you can come back the next day and do it again. So that was kind of
our coaches always compare us to Ferraris.
Right, right.
Like, our bodies are like Ferraris, so it got to be fine tuned. Like, everything's fine tuned from the way you eat to, like, sleep. Obviously the training, sleep, treatment. Like, for me, I'll get worked on, like, by a physio or a masseuse, like, almost every day. And then, like, ice baths, which are, like, the worst.
Right, I imagine.
It's, like, the worst. But yeah, it's something you got to do.
Once.
You did once?
Yeah,
you
just
did.
Once. Never again. barely made it in.
See, yeah, we got to go through that. Like, but those are the things that, like, allow you to keep your body just feeling good, you know. And so, I mean, obviously we'll start like the day with a good meal, you know, and then go to the track and you'll do like your warm-up, which is like a workout. Like a warm-up for us is
for
like
real.
An hour long. And then for me, like, I'll do a workout of like in the sand or on the stadium or like plyometrics, and then I'll do like some running. And then from there, take like maybe 45 minute break, go to the weight room, lift for like another hour, and then after weights, then we'll do like core work and just like working on the little muscles, just to that's just to stay away from like injury for the most part, that type of stuff. And then from there is like treatment, ice bath, Normatec boots, massage, refueling, getting you know, your proteins in and things like that. And then, like, for me, I like to watch film too. I watch a lot of film of like myself and other jumpers too, so I'll do that. And then after that, just get ready for the next day.
I mean, you said it all right there. Like, I feel like we do the same thing because, you know, jumps, you know, they train like sprinters, so I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I feel like the whole day is, I would say, about five to 6 hours, just the whole day of just training, just doing everything. And then, of course, like, you know, like Will said, you know, I watch film on my competitors. You know, I try to look at what their weaknesses are, what are their strengths. So that's kind of what I do. I know my weaknesses, and I say, okay, let's not panic. I know what they do, and just make sure I just stay in my zone and attack when I'm ready. So that's kind of what I do when I watch film.
Another one of the big storylines, I think, for the 2019-2020 is that fellow Puma athlete Usain Bolt is hanging up the spike, so to speak, right?
Yeah. Playing soccer now.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's working out for him. A couple goals. Yeah. And rightfully so. He's left the sport in such a great place. I think, a lot of people tune back into it after some years of, doping controversies here and there with some of the big athletes over the years. I want to know what you guys think the current state of the sport, track and field, is going forward. What needs to be done? I imagine you guys feel like you guys are going to be filling the voids that he kind of left as far as this celebrity, this entertainer, right? But I just want to get your thoughts on where the current state of track and field is.
I feel like Bolt did a lot for the game. For sure, for all of us, and like you said, we want to keep it going. Obviously, I'm not Bolt, but I want Will Clay to be on that same pedestal in the sport. So that just comes from that dude was really great. Like, he wasn't just entertaining and doing other stuff. He was really that good, So I feel like the performance is always going to be first. You got to go out there and perform and show. People want to see something that's never been seen before. So that's up to us to show them something that's never been done before, and that's when they're entertained, and that's when you can turn up like how Bolt turned up. And I feel like that's what we want to do. We want to go out there and perform at high levels and entertain people, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's entertainment. So
that's how can we get the fans engaged?
Yeah.
So he did a great job of that, and his legacy is definitely going to be the biggest, because just of what he's done for the sport, for track and field, with all that's been going on. So I think it's up to Will and I and others just to try to just keep the sport going, try to just find ways to keep people engaged. I think for, just for my event already, I think a lot of people like it now because it's they're going to know, they don't know who's going to win, right? Because everybody was saying, oh, Bolt's going to win, which is just still fine because he was breaking world records. He was doing his thing, and people love to see that as well. But I think, moving forward now, it's really anybody's game. And I think it's going to also make it more exciting to say, oh, we don't know who's going to win now, right? So it kind of goes both ways, I feel like, yeah.
And you guys both mentioned his soccer career, life after track and field for Bolt. I know you guys are far from it, but everybody has their own personal passions, hobbies, likes, whatever it might be. Have you guys thought about what life after track and field might be, or even what are those interests that you guys currently have?
Man, music for me, for sure. I'm trying to be on like Hope status. That's always been a passion of mine. Yeah. Is music. Like, I started doing music, making music before I ever triple jumped. So it's been something that I'm passionate about, and during the off season,
when's that EP dropping?
EP dropping soon, real soon.
What do you listen to then when I'm
training?
Whether you're training or before an event.
Man, I listen to Erykah Badu and Lauryn Hill.
Oh, you smoothed it out before.
Yeah, because I get turned up. And I used to listen to
Jeezy.
Gucci, Jeezy, something that's gonna have me going. And then I would get to the meeting, I'd be tired. I used to bring a speaker and put it in my room, and it'd just blast while I'm getting ready to go out. And I would get to the track dang, I don't have no more energy.
Been dancing
the last half an hour.
I'm in the room dancing And so I had to switch it up and just go with something a little more chill. and it just puts my mind in the right place. Yeah. Cause like, yeah, I gotta have energy. That. Yeah. So.
What are you listening to right now? There's been a few albums that just dropped. Metro just dropped today.
Metro just dropped. Man, I really love Mick Jenkins' new project.
Yeah.
Mick Jenkins, obviously, I'm from the West Coast, so Dom Kennedy's album is like one of the dopest projects out the West Coast right now. Dang, who else am I listening to? Oh, Mai Tai, Jeremiah and Ty Dolla $ign is dope. Brent Faiyaz is dope. Black's album's dope too. So I'm spinning all of those right now.
Yeah, Black's album.
I'm on
really
that
good.
Too, and I just probably add a little bit of, you know, the Canadian side of me. So, you know, got Drizzy. And then Tory Lanez album just dropped. So
I ain't heard it yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of good music out. Yeah, that the Ty Dolla $ign Jeremiah one, like I've been waiting for that forever.
It's dope.
I've been bumping that too.
I always got Kendrick in the mix though. Like,
oh, for sure.
He like probably one of my he's my favorite artist. Yeah. I would say.
I mean, I guess if you're balancing the turn and the smooth, like he fits right in it, right?
Yeah, I just feel like when he. What he says, it just like resonates with me for some reason. Yeah, it just is weird how I'm like, dang. Do you go to church?
No, I don't know if I should. No, I don't.
Well, like, my mom's listening to this. And like, sometimes, like, I'll go to church and I'll hear the word and I'll be like, dang, that was just for me, like, what the pastor said that day. But like, Kendrick is the same. Like, I'll hear a song and I'm like, dang, like, I had that same experience when I was like, you know, back living in Phoenix as a kid. And it's just crazy that. So that's why he's like, I always just have listened to Kendrick like
for
that.
Sure.
He's dope.
And Dre, I know, what are your hobbies? What are your interests? I know you're big into fashion, streetwear, correct?
Yeah. I mean, right now I've been modeling a lot in my spare time for like different magazines. So I mean, like Dress to Kill, Harry Rosen, Ho Renfrew. So a lot of brands just trying to just find different fashions. I like fashion a lot, so I like to wear different things. I'm really open. I'm outside the box. So I mean, I just be wearing different stuff, trying to try new things. A lot of times when I'm modeling, they're like, "Oh, would you wear this?" And I'm like, "All right, wear it. I'll try it out. Take a picture of me." And I was like, "Okay, it looks cool. I like it." So you know, definitely that's kind of one of the reasons why I also choose Puma as well, because you know they do a lot of collaborations as well. So I like that. I like to wear, you know, certain things. But then, you know, just outside of modeling, I just actually started my foundation, my family foundation, which like just inspires and empowers kids through, you know, sport and education. So one of the things I always wanted to do was just give back to my community if I ever got big. So, you know, in Canada, I actually just started it, I did the launch in May, and we're about to start doing some big things. It's called the Future Champions Fund. So, you know, we start giving out a lot of times, you know, in track and field, or just in sports, you know, a lot of kids don't have the chance to be able to, you know, just go to a track meet or go to a competition and, you know, because they don't have the attire or just the travel money, things like that. So for me, it was just like a great opportunity for me to just provide for those kids when growing up. And I know a lot of them because, you know, they're actually in the same club that I was in when I was younger. So just be able to do those type of things, that's kind of like my new passion right now. So I mean, just doing that, I think it just gives me a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? It just gives me a lot of like pleasure and, you know, just to be able to inspire kids.
Yeah, totally. Is it like you said, sports and education, so like STEM programs kind of?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right now, so we do a lot of things with like camps, you know, whether it's track and field, basketball. Right now, that's my two main focuses right now. So I'm actually throwing a basketball tournament in December. You know, I threw one last year, so it's going to be the second annual. So we get a lot of the elementary school kids, high school kids, you know, just try to give them opportunity for, you know, for them to be seen and be looked at, you know, whether they're going off to college, you know, just trying to make it to the next level. So that's kind of my main focuses right now. But you know, also as well, the education piece, you know, just be able to try to just give them, you know, funds to be able to go off to school, whether it doesn't even have to be sport, just life in general, you know, because a lot of kids don't have that opportunity. So that's kind of what I've been focused on these actually past couple months as I've been injured, you know, just trying to find that focus, find that interest, and just making sure, you know, these kids have that opportunity.
Totally. So before we close out, would you guys mind giving a bit of advice to our listeners? I mean, they may not be pursuing an athletic, but they might have a creative or artistic endeavor. So any bit of advice for guys like yourself, from guys like yourselves, would be certainly helpful. So do you guys have any?
Yeah. For me, just in general, I think in life, just trust the process, whatever you want to accomplish. You know, there's always going to be ups and downs in life. But for, you know, if you could just continue to just trust that process, never give up on yourself. And I feel like always, you know, if there's an opportunity there, take that risk. I think I've learned that throughout the years, you know, risk taking. I mean, it's tough, but if you take a lot of risk, you know, most of the time it works out. So you just got to continue to trust that process.
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel like I would just say don't break. You know, like I feel like in life we all get so many no's, and it's like how many of those can you withstand? Because a lot of people will just quit. And so it's just like how long can you go through the fire? And you know, most people, once they survive through that, it, you know, turns into, you know, something big and something they may not even have known that was for them, and they'll, you know, attain that. And so I would just say, yeah, keep going through it. Don't stop, no matter what no one tells you, no matter what happens for us. I mean, obviously we have injuries and things like that, or whatever it may be. You know, there could be someone that wants to be an artist or whatever, you know, and they'll get 10 labels that say no, like, we don't like it. Like, I just was at a Red Bull Records, and I was meeting with this guy. His name is Tick. He's an A&R up there, and he was in a meeting one time, and they said they played Wiz Khalifa's music, and they all didn't like it, none of them. And look at Wiz now. Like, you know, that's how it goes. You just got to keep going. You know, and your time will come when it's supposed to. You can't compare yourself to the next person. Like, oh, dang, he just popped. Like, so I'm like, why not me? It's like, no, like, your time is going to come. Just keep going. Don't stop.
Totally. Well, your time is now, both of you guys. So thank you guys for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming with the heat. I see on the feet. I wish you guys the best of luck. Yeah, you already know. Yeah. Wish you guys the best of luck over the next 2 years.
Appreciate
definitely
it.
Be watching. Again, thanks for coming through.
Man, appreciate you.
No problem.
Us.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. Peace.